to talk a bit more about the complicated history of this country. When his country was attacked by the Japanese, a 23-year-old Ben Kuroki headed to the nearest army recruiter near his Nebraska home. But they didn't seem to want him, not at first. The bombing of Pearl Harbor would set in motion one of the uglier chapters in American history. Suspicion turned to hysteria that led to the internment of an estimated 110,000 Japanese Americans. How Kuroki came to be the first Japanese-American war hero, flying an incredible 58 combat missions, and his role in recruiting other Nisei or American-born Japanese to fight on behalf of a country that interned them, is the subject of a new documentary, Most Honorable Son. We're pleased to have with us Ben Kuroki, as well as the director of the film, Bill Kubota. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kuroki, until Pearl Harbor, did you ever feel different growing up in Nebraska as you did in a small farming town?
Well, of course we realized we were different, but I had never faced the kind of prejudice that erupted with the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
And of course you and your brother tried to join the next Monday morning, and apparently they did not call you back, so you persisted. Did you have any sense of the kind of resistance that you would face in trying to serve?
Well, we were certainly surprised. We passed our physical, and then we just waited and waited and never received any word, and we realized we were getting the runaround.
But eventually they did let you and your brother join, but it wasn't easy, and I want to play a short clip from the film that expresses a little bit of what you had to face. Here it is.
Some of the recruits would get carried away and make big statements like, "Can't wait till I kill a damn Jap." And we were not used to that kind of language or anything. And so my kid brother and I, we went in together and I said, "Well, it might be better if we don't stick around together."
It wasn't just the language, though, was it? You had to fight for a combat assignment, yes?
Yes, I had to fight like hell for the right to fight for my own country.
Bill Kubota, how did you hear about Mr. Kuroki's story? What made you want to tell it?
My dad had seen Ben Kuroki in 1944 in an internment camp in Idaho. And I was working on a project or two related to the Flyers and B-24s. And so I kind of put that together, Ben's story. I asked some of these Flyers if they had ever heard of Ben Kuroki, and some of them had. Well, here's an interesting story about a Japanese-American that was in the Air Corps that was kind of unheard of, but he was a hero to my dad, and I thought, well, this is a story that probably needs to be told.
Where did the title of your film come from, Most Honorable Son?
That was one of Ben's nicknames when he was on a B-24. Everybody got their own nickname, you know, all the Flyers. It was this camaraderie, and so Ben, I just found out this recently, was just Honorable Son, and then they elevated him to Most Honorable Son, and they painted that right on his plane near his gun turret.
Well, that sounds good. Bill, can you tell us why it's so incredible that Mr. Kuroki flew 58 combat missions, 30 of them in a B-24? I'm not sure everybody understands what that means, so can you help us?
Yeah, B-24 was a heavy bomber that was used throughout the world by the U.S., and the missions these guys flew were very dangerous, and what happened was they kind of set a limit, because if you could make it through a few missions, you were lucky, but they said, if you can make it through 25 missions, you can go home. You've done your duty. But Ben actually did 25, and they needed 5 more in Europe. And after that, he ended up flying some more over Japan in another bomber. So he did 58 missions, a lot of missions for anybody.
Mr. Kuroki, did the kind of resistance that you faced as you tried to get your assignment, as you tried to serve, including, I have to say, being captured in Spanish Algeria, and you tried to escape so that you could get a combat assignment. I think that's worth mentioning. Did that resistance start to change when people saw what you could do up in the air?
So I didn't have any problems once I started flying missions. We all flew together as family.
After Mr. Kuroki finished the combat portion of his service, he came back and was visiting some of the internment camps to see if he could recruit fellow Japanese Americans to serve. Mr. Kroki, I have to ask what that was like for you.
Of course, I was surprised when I pulled up to the first gate and found that there's military guards there with guns and bayonets were wearing the same uniform I was wearing. And I had mixed emotions. Inside were all my own people. It was not a kind of job that I was cut out for because I had no speaking experience. And it was very difficult. After a while, I got very tired of it.
And I'd like to play a clip of the reaction that one of the folks in the camps had to hearing these efforts to recruit them. Let's play it.
I thought, what the hell's going on? You know, we're in camp, took everything away from us. Now they want to draft us. We don't have to shove it.
That was former internee Jack Tono. Mr. Kroki, did anybody ever say that to you directly?
Well, they had a group there of dissidents like the person who you just heard, and they refused to support being drafted, and they also didn't agree with me, and they started calling me names and that sort of thing.
What kind of names?
Well, their leader called me a bullshitter, and I know that the others made a lot more derogatory report that I can't even mention on the air.
Did that bother you?
Yes, it did, because I was fighting for the good of all Japanese Americans, and I felt that even though they might be right in their premise, I felt they were tearing down the things that I was risking my life to build up for the good of all Japanese Americans.
But of course, it has to be said that a Japanese American unit, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, went on to become one of the most decorated, if not the most decorated, unit serving in World War II. I would like to ask you if you see any parallels to our circumstances today. America finds itself once again at war on two fronts, in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And I know that many Muslim Americans, Arab Americans, sometimes feel that they are the target of suspicion now. Do you find any parallels to today, either of you?
I think I see that a little bit. I'm in Detroit, and a lot of Arab Americans here. I think there's a lack of understanding of folks. So when something like, these wars happen, we immediately cast suspicion. And I do also think, though, that I had heard early on when this war started talk about rounding folks up, but I think maybe America's better than that now because of what happened to the Japanese Americans.
What about you, Mr. Kuroki? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, it's nothing compared to Pearl Harbor, of course, because that directly affected my parents and myself. But I do have feelings for the Muslims in this country because I'm sure that they're some people will not treat them like as they should be.
And of course, Mr. Kroki, after the service, you went on to become a newsman, which we appreciate. But I wonder how it feels for you to have Bill Kubota tell your story.
Well, it's incredible, of course, especially at my ripe old age of 90, to have a television documentary about myself.
Ben Kuroki, war hero, is the subject of the new PBS documentary, Most Honorable Son. He joined us from member station KCLU in Thousand Oaks, California. Bill Kubota is director of Most Honorable Son. He joined us from member station WDET in Detroit. The film debuts tonight on PBS. Gentlemen, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To learn more about the documentary, please visit us online at npr.org/tellmemore.